Welcome to episode 14 of the Busy Pastor Podcast. My name is Greg Gibson. As always, I'm here with my co-host, Trent Stewart, the lead pastor at Foothills Church. And today we are talking about being busy in our marriages. Welcome to episode 14 of the Busy Pastor Podcast. Today we are talking about marriage, and Trent, let's get right to it. As always, why is this something that we're even talking about?
Yeah, well, obviously marriage and ministry brings with it some unique pressures and expectations. I mean, marriage in general is just difficult and challenging. Right. You've got to work your way through it, grow through it. But when you throw in the ministry side of things, there are some other unique challenges. I mean, there's just added pressure when you're in the church
right. To
have a great marriage and to present your family and to present yourself as if your marriage is fantastic and beautiful and wonderful. And even if it's not, your wife feels it. Your kids feel that as well. You do tend to live in that glass house where everybody's kind of watching you. And so when you're in public or when you're, you know, just in the hallways on Sunday mornings, people are watching your interactions. And so you feel that tension and pressure, and that expectation is there. And your wife feels that expectation. You know, your church actually has expectations for our wives. You know,
spoken or not spoken.
Yeah, they're you know, how she serves. Is she gonna be a teacher like Beth Moore? Can she play an instrument? Can she sing? Is she talented in this area or that area? You know, and so there's that pressure, and so we preach about what marriage should look like. You know, from the pulpit, from the stage, but are you, as the pastor, actually experiencing a healthy marriage, a joyful marriage? Does your wife love the ministry? Does your wife love that you are actually in ministry or that you are a pastor? If not, why is that? And so I think sacrificing your marriage on the altar of ministry is one of those things that we've all heard, but we always have to come back to that reality. Is that something that we're currently doing?
Yeah, when you combine, as you said, marriage and ministry, it's going to bring with it pretty unique challenges, pretty unique pressures, pretty unique expectations. I think we can talk about marriage all day, but when you combine those two arenas, man, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of things, whether spoken or unspoken, that your church and your context is saying or not saying. Mm-hmm. And so for pastors, man, this is a big deal. And so let's talk a little bit about, you know, the practical aspects of this for a minute.
Well, this kind of relates to all marriages, but we have no idea what love is when we start dating. I mean, we start liking someone, you know, there's infatuation, really.
And, yeah, there's and so affection. Yeah,
we're drawing, you know, together because of common likes, and we like how each other looks and those kinds of things. And so we get married, and then, you know, 6 to 12 months into the marriage, you know, we have to start to learn that, okay, love is different than just liking.
Right.
You know, when we say love sometimes, it just means, you know, we're really just saying, I have strong romantic feelings for you. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when we say I love you, it just really means I really need you in my life right now. I like how you make me feel.
Right.
I'm happy that you want to be with me or that you thought of me. And so that's all selfish. It's all inward focused. And that's natural. That's how we all kind of initially feel those affections. But we have to move into what it really means to love. Obviously, God shows us what that looks like in the New Testament, really all throughout the Bible. And 1 Corinthians 13 specifically talks about what this love is. And for all marriages, we have to determine that this is a covenant that we've made. It's not just a contract that we signed. It's a covenant between us, our spouse, and God. And we're going to choose to love this person, you know. Love is patient, kind. We work through all of what those, you know, adjectives are. In the Greek New Testament, though, those are all verbs in the Greek language. And so giving us this mentality that love is action.
Right.
And it's constantly moving in the direction of this person that we love.
Yeah, not only with that, there's so many problems with pastors in ministry trying to balance their ministry schedule, their family schedule, trying to balance the realization of, hey, I've got X amount of time to give. And oftentimes, pastors are not good at leading themselves and leading their schedules and leading their calendars. And so their spouses, their wives feel slighted. They don't manage their time well. They're not busy with the right things.
Yeah.
Spouses feel like single moms.
Yeah.
Get the leftovers.
One of the best books I read was from Andy Stanley called Choosing to Cheat. And that was really just one of those books that helped me think through this. What he says is you're going to cheat something. You're going to cheat your wife. You're going to cheat work. You're going to cheat yourself. Choose what you're going to cheat.
Choose where you're going to give your time.
Essentially, in ministry, you're always going to have another phone call to make. There's always going to be another ministry opportunity to do. But you've got to, at some point, put that down, cheat that so that you can go home, be with your wife, be with your kids. And so I think that's very helpful, because if we don't manage our time well, we're not going to be busy with the right things. Our marriages will suffer. And so just like if we're not taking care of ourselves physically, it's going to hurt our church and our community and our ministry. If we're not taking care of that love relationship with our wife, it's going to impact your church in a huge way.
Yeah, there's always going to be the next phone call, the next counseling session, the next meeting, that email. But we're going to need to really cultivate and create a healthy rhythm, you know, where we are continually pursuing and cultivating and creating
you mentioned
a healthy soil for our marriages.
You mentioned the scraps. Like if your wife has ever said, like, I feel like a single mom.
Yeah.
If your wife has ever said, I feel like I'm getting the scraps from you, like that's gotta be an indicator. Like you can argue about it. You can point fingers, you can blame each other, or you can say, you know what, let me suck it up here, be a man, and recognize my wife is hurting, this is what she's saying, how she feels is her reality, whether you think it should be that way or not, and you've got to actually do the hard work of letting her know that, hey, I care about what you're feeling and what you're saying right now, and I'm going to do what's necessary to reverse that.
Right, and so let's get practical for a minute on how we deal with the stresses and expectations of our marriage. And so, this is practical for any marriage, but this definitely comes out with pastors who are in ministry, and there's this overlapping thing.
Yeah.
That stress and all the hardships and trials of ministry bring, right? And so let's talk about that for a minute. How do we deal with the stresses and expectations usually in our marriage?
Recently read a book called The Self-Centered Marriage by Hal Runkle. And he's just a psychologist, not a Christian book. But he talks about the five ways that we scream in marriage. And I just thought it was profound, because whether you're in ministry or not, like these are screams that we do in marriage. In other words, this is how we react to stressful situations and our emotions in marriage. And the first way is that we actually aggressively scream at each other. So physically we're screaming. This is when I scream, I accuse, I berate, I insult my spouse. This is when, we say, he lost it, she lost it, and so our voices are raised. And so, the example might be, I asked him to, help me with bedtime with the kids, and he yelled at me and said he already does everything around the house. And so the wife yells back at him and says, you're never here. And so yelling is just how they deal with their emotions and their differences. So obviously very unhealthy. Another way that we scream is that we distance ourselves from one another. So when we're upset, when we're offended, then sometimes we just choose to distance ourselves from our spouse. And so that means, I'm not going to make eye contact. I'm not going to talk. I'm going to avoid. I'm going to go to the room and watch TV. I'm going to stay at the office so that I don't have to be around her. So we just kind of distance ourselves and avoid each other. And that's unhealthy, obviously, as well. Thirdly, is we cut ourselves off from each other. And so this is like a full distancing. This is when, you're actually going to move out of the house. This is when you might get a divorce. This is a you get to the point to where you're like, I want to cut off from this relationship. But, you know, cutting off never works. It never addresses the real issues and the problems in a marriage. You're going to continually hold on to that. What you have to do is you've got to carefully deal with that pain. You can't just cut off and avoid people. You know, you see people in our churches who get divorces. You know, they think cutting each other off is going to solve the problem. If I can just get them out of my life. But especially if you have kids, they're not going to be out of your life. You're going to have to deal with this person for the rest of your life. So at some point, you're going to have to deal with that pain. The fourth way is we fall into the over-under pattern. And I really resonated with this one because this is so common in most couples and marriages. The over-under means that one person starts to under-function in a certain area, which then causes the other spouse to then over-function in that area. So here's how it works. In the normal stress of marriage, once one spouse starts to under-function in, let's just say, the housework, taking care of the house. So maybe the husband is, the pastor listening, under-functioning in dishes, laundry, cleaning, that kind of stuff. So his wife then starts, they don't talk about it. They don't like say have a healthy conversation about it. It just happens. And then what happens is the wife starts to overfunction in taking care of the house. Now, again, nobody talks about it. It just happens. And then you just kind of go in these, you know, roles. And then what happens is, you know, the wife potentially builds up resentment and animosity, thinking in her mind, why doesn't he help more? And then when a stressful, anxious moment happens, then we go straight to the over-unders in our marriage and we point the finger. So if he's late for dinner, you know, it turns into, you never help around the house. Like, wait a minute, I thought I was late for dinner and we were arguing about that. Why are we talking about this? Well, it's because that resentment had been building up for a long time and it just now kind of comes out. The over-under, so maybe the husband is over-functioning in taking care of the finances. The wife under-functions in that. And so, you know, then the husband has the resentment of, I'm dealing with all this pressure with the finances and this and that. And so that comes out in the argument. Well, I do all this.
Right.
Well, I do all this. You know, when sex gets, you know, into the picture, maybe the wife is under-functioning in that. And so the husband feels like he's taking all the, you know, the pressure of creating date nights and, you know, trying to have intimate moments and doing this. And so he's resentful and angry. And so the over-unders, man, are just there in marriage consistently. And so what we've got to do is have discussions about them. And we have to like say, you know, okay, this is where I'm over functioning and you're under functioning. Let's talk about this. Why is that? You know, how can we get to a healthy place here? Talk about some of the pain and the resentment that we have because of that. Maybe the husband is being lazy with the housework and he does need to pick it up with taking care of the kids and doing that. Maybe the wife is, you know, not being physically intimate. And why is that? And let's talk about that and let's get to a healthy place in that and without screaming. But these over-unders are just another way of screaming. And so I love it. And then the final way was when we triangulate others into the conflict. So another way that we scream in marriage, he says in the book, is that we get our friend involved in the conflict. And so we talk about, you know, our wife with our friend and she never does this and she never does that. And so we get them involved and now they're resentful and bitter. Or we get our parents involved. And so maybe the wife gets the mom involved and now the wife is upset. And so the husband is like, I've got an in-law to deal with. I got my wife to deal with. And so, you know, all this tension takes place. That's just another way to handle conflict in the inappropriate way. And we have to move in a healthy direction.
Man, that is so good and so important. And just to recap, because that is a lot of information, but the five ways we scream, we aggressively yell.
Yeah.
That's the open conflict is not good. Then we start to distance ourselves from one another.
Not good.
We cut ourselves off from each other. Then number four, we fall into this over-under pattern. And I think that conversation right there is in many ways the meat of this whole episode.
Yeah.
And then five, we triangulate and bring others into the conflict. And so we do this in ministry all the time.
Yeah.
And when we overlap our marriages with our ministry, because there's all these unspoken expectations, mm-hmm. maybe in date one that you never talked about to date 30, and then you're engaged and now you're married and now you're married for 20 years and you still never really sat down, talked about them, put them on paper, whatever it is. So what are the steps?
Yeah.
So all that is so good. Go back and listen to that 20 more times.
Yeah.
But let's talk about kind of the steps now that we take out of that.
Yeah. But by the way, remember that your wife didn't know what she was signing up for when she married a pastor. Maybe you didn't even commit to the ministry when you guys were dating, or maybe she kind of knew. She had no clue what she was stepping into. She was being supportive, right? We have to keep that in mind. She had no idea. Steps. I think, first of all, you got to identify which area, you know, you're in the category of. So if you guys are yellers, just identify that. Have that conversation. You know, if you're in the over-under, let's talk about that. I feel like I'm over in this. I feel like I'm under in here. And then, you know, just really begin to identify where you're at. And then you got to confront yourself. So when do you do that? When do you physically yell? What are the circumstances? Is it about when you're talking about where we're going to spend the holidays this year and what that schedule? Is it about finances? Is it about a certain, you know, child dynamic in parenting? There's usually going to be one or two areas that consistently bring that emotional stress. And so understanding what those topics are. So next time when you start to walk into that, you can say, hey, I know this typically leads us to scream and yell and fuss and fight, but let's take a deep breath here and let's commit that we're not going to lose our emotions here in this moment. I think thirdly, you've got to realize it's sinful. You've got to realize where the sin is at here. And so when we're not in a healthy relationship with our wife, when we're treating her in an ungodly way, it's sinful. If we're not honoring her, if we're not loving her, if we're not leading her well, that's sinful as a leader, as a pastor. We've got to recognize that that is sin. Repent of that sin. Start doing the hard work of overcoming that and confessing that, and through the Holy Spirit, recognizing that maybe I'm not handling my words well, my reaction well. And then fourthly, I would say you might need to get some help. So help comes in the form of reading books, listening to podcasts, Focus on the Family podcast, those kinds of things. Talk to a friend, talk to a counselor together, and start working on that. I think as pastors, so often we're so afraid to get help in our marriage because, again, going back to the beginning of this episode, we have to keep up the facade. We have to keep up this perception that we got it figured out, guys. We are good to go. Listen to what we have to say. When really, I think you earn a lot of trust with your people if you actually say, you know what? We do struggle, and we are with you guys as a people. We struggle too. We're with you. This is hard. This is difficult, but we're working on it. And by the grace of God, we're going to move through it.
Yeah, man, that is so good. Conflict usually happens in our marriage when we see you have one expectation, your wife has one expectation,
sure,
and they're not met. And I love this pathway to where you wake up one day and you're like, man, things aren't good, right? And and you realize, okay, well, for 10 years there's been an unspoken, not met expectation, and now we've gone through these five steps in a way of screaming at each other. To now we're bringing other people in. There's unspoken over under patterns in our marriage, and now we're working towards these steps to kind of recultivating health, right? And one of the things that my wife and I did when we were engaged, I wrote out 100 plus questions, and man, I was an overachiever where I was just like, okay, in every category of my life, I just kind of bullet pointed questions out. So when do we eat dinner? Who does the dishes? Who walks the dog? When do we do laundry? Who's in charge of laundry? How often are we going on vacation? How, you know, talking about the in-laws, who deals with whose side of the family? And in every couple of years, we go back to those questions and we realize kind of, okay, we've kind of disaligned or unaligned from that. And now we can see, okay, there's conflict, right? Mm-hmm. And then again, we do the hard work of kind of writing out our expectations, agreeing together. Mm-hmm. And it is so helpful to begin to do that, because then Grace and I begin to see, okay, these are the ways that we have practiced the five screams, mm-hmm. where we've not been aligned,
yeah.
you know, and a lot of that has to do with unspoken expectations in ministry,
mm-hmm.
you know, not leading in the way that maybe I should have been leading. And so, yeah. so let's talk about how to cultivate a healthy marriage.
Yeah.
So these are landmines, right? These are ways that we go about having an unhealthy marriage. But let's talk about, you know, overlapping ministry and marriage and how we cultivate yeah. that. Let's give some practical advice here.
So 1 Corinthians 13, you know, when Paul talks about love, he's saying there in the first couple of verses that gifts without love are useless. So, you know, if you have all these amazing gifts, but you have not love, then you're like a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. It's useless, essentially. And so maybe you have some great gifts. You're a great pastor. You're a great leader. You're a great speaker. You were great at sports, whatever. You know, you've got charisma, blah, blah, blah. Your wife doesn't care what your gifts are if you aren't showing her love. And so you've got to recognize that maybe your gifts, you know, got you the girl, but it's not going to keep the girl. You've got to consistently show her love and not just lean on, oh, I'm so talented. He goes on to talk about sacrifice. And so sacrifice without love is useless. And this was a huge one for me. Like verse 3, you can make great sacrifices, but who cares? If you're not sacrificing in love, then nobody cares. You know, you might think that you're sacrificing for your family because you work so hard or you're at the office so much, but if you're that's self-love. You know, at the end of the day, that might be because you want more money, accolades, power, whatever. If your wife is saying, no, I want you home, man, we need you here, then you're probably sacrificing for a selfish motivation instead of really putting your family first. And so 1 Corinthians 13 goes on to say in verses 7 and following, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and says love endures. And so that word endure is a Greek military word that is used to describe like when an army is sustaining against the assaults of an enemy. So the enemy is attacking your marriage consistently through culture, through all of your personal issues, through your own sin. He's constantly attacking. And so will love endure? True, genuine love, a choice to love God first. And now I'm going to, because of that love and because of my commitment to the Lord Jesus, now I know and I'm motivated that I am called to love my wife. And so it's going to persevere. It's not going to quit. It's not going to give up. And so if you want a hot marriage, you're going to have to walk through the fire.
Mm.
And every single marriage is going to walk through the fire. Now, if you come out on the other side of that, your marriage will be hot. If you don't walk out on the other side, you're going to get burnt. It's going to flame out. It's going to be over. And so, you know, God uses just when that refining fire, as the book of Hebrews talks about, as gold, you know, we want to be purified from sin. That's what marriage is about. Marriage is about God refining us and allowing us to see our imperfections and our sin. And if you'll listen to your wife, not as the enemy, but if you'll listen to her as someone who's on your team, as someone that God is going to use to help you grow personally, to help you connect with Jesus personally, which is going to make you a better leader, listen to her. Let that grow you, and God's going to do amazing things together when you are on the same team and when you are committed to growth together.
Yeah, pastors, we know this. You teach this stuff. You have taught this stuff maybe in conferences and marriage seminars on Sunday morning. But I'm telling you, and we are telling you, this is why we have done this podcast, is for you. And so when your marriage is healthy, when you're busy watering that arena and that field of your life, everything about your ministry is also going to be healthy. When your marriage is healthy, you're going to be a healthy leader, you're going to be a better pastor, and your church ultimately is going to be healthier as well. As we close today's episode, we want to invite you to do a few things. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Busy Pastor. And secondly, if you like today's episode, subscribe to The Busy Pastor and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast. For more resources, go to busypastor.org to join the Busy Pastor community. Next week, we are talking about being busy in our parenting. Until then, let's be busy with the right things.